News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage in association with AIR.
Back to the issue of e-scooters. The leaders of Ireland's political parties are meeting with the Garda Commissioner Justin Kelly to discuss this outright ban that has been floating around for the last week or so after a number of retailers, including Amazon, began pulling illegally fast e-scooters from sale in Ireland. It is a massive headache for an Garda Síochána to try and regulate this right now. Niall Hodgins, President of the Garda Representative Association, is with us on the line. Niall, good morning to you.
Good morning, Jonathan, to you and your listeners. Good morning.
Where does the GRA stand on this? I mean, banning seems a bit extreme, but could it be at least an interim way to get on top of the problem?
Well, we would welcome a ban on these things, but as you know, Jonathan, people will always flout the law, and because they're such a useful tool with regards to criminality in general, we're going to have a problem either way if there is a total ban or not. So, in order for the Gardaí to deal with these things. I've said before previously that the state, including Garda management, have to resource us, train us and protect us. So what does that look like? So resourcing is certainly you won't be chasing after these things in a family saloon car, which is all that we have. As you know, generally you'll see our a particular brand, but any ordinary patrol car is only like a family car.
What's the solution? You put a guard on an e-scooter, because that doesn't sound very
I mean, we're talking about off-road capabilities, because the Garda Commissioner has acknowledged that these things are using laneways, parkways, going into parks on the approach of any guard. So we need off-road capabilities. So that's the resourcing aspect of it. And then we move on to the training aspect of it. Listen to the comments of our Justice Minister last February when he said Gardaí shouldn't feel restrained from carrying out their duties. And the Garda Commissioner himself acknowledged that he's looking at training and vehicles. But he has also acknowledged that he won't be even looking at it until after the EU presidency. Well, I can tell you that my predecessor, who was probably one of the highest qualified guards within driving capabilities within the guards, and it would be his opinion that training will not be ready in respect of pursuit driving and all that as late as 2029.
Okay, but now we would have had this issue. We would have had this issue as well with motorbikes. And if you go back to the 80s and the 90s, those of us who were old enough to remember when the laws around motorbikes were a little bit slacker and enforcement was lax. You know, you saw the fellas who were popping the wheelies. You saw the fellas who were acting the goat, driving around, risking themselves and others around them. And guess what? We toughened the law. We made sure the insurance requirements were stiff. We made sure that helmet wearing became incredibly compulsory. Otherwise, you lose your license. Is that not the way to go with this as well? We legislate for it. We allow for, you know, the use of them in controlled circumstances. And if you lose your license for your scooter, you lose your license for your motorbike or your car.
Yeah, I mean, look, of course, you'd look at other jurisdictions and what works there. And I'm sure that's going to form part of the conversations this morning with our management and political leaders. So typically, as you've alluded to there, Jonathan, that in sort of France, I guess, and other Scandinavian countries, there would be a requirement, say, to insure these things, some sort of registered system of who is the owner and obligations then placed on the owners. So, of course, yeah, that would be very helpful. But I do believe there are a number of ingredients required, because, as I said, you know, I've used the analogy before that, you know, you're looking at the suppliers, and I think you alluded there at the start of the conversation about Amazon having a total ban. You know, if a young guard is walking along the canal and there are many people drowning in it beside him, does he jump in and save one? Does he jump in and seize one scooter? Or does he run up the canal and see who's thrown all the people into the canal? So I definitely think the state or the sorry, our legislators have a role here too.
They certainly do, and the idea of a ban, it sounds, you know, we're being strong in this. It's completely and utterly unworkable because these things are already out there. But we're spending a lot of time talking about this. What about parental responsibility? I know this, I don't want to sound like an owl lad, but if you have 15, 16, 17 year olds going around on these things, and they're the ones more than likely who are pushing the limits, and they're the ones who are committing crime and criminal acts, you know, where are the parents in all of this? Where are the uncles? Where's the leadership in the community?
Yeah, as I say, it's another ingredient because our members are will go out and will, because of a sense of moral obligation and service to their community, and because of the public appetite to deal with this issue, because of our doctors and our consultants' calls in respect of all the children that are in intensive care because of these things, I'm sure our legislators will have to consider all of those calls when they're meeting later to deal with these things, which it really is a scourge at the moment.
Okay, we'll leave it there for now. Thanks very much for joining us. That meeting happening later on between the Garda Commissioner and political party leaders, Niall Hodgins of the GRA. Thank you for talking to us on News Talk Breakfast. It's
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage
in association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.